Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. You to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Story number one. Last summer still messes with my head. People usually talk about vacations or late-night drives, but for me, it's what happened in school one night that I can't shake off. I don't even know why I'm writing this, because whenever I think about it, I still get goosebumps. It started with something stupid. My friends and I decided to play with an Ouija board, but instead of someone's basement or bedroom, we thought it'd be funny to sneak into our school. It was late, around midnight. We managed to get in by hopping the sidewall, and everything about that place felt wrong the second I stepped inside. The school, usually alive even at night with security guards chatting or stray dogs barking, was dead silent. Too silent. I remember walking into the building and feeling this sudden gust of cold air brush past me. Everyone laughed it off, saying I was just overthinking, but my gut twisted right then. We found an empty classroom and shut off the lights. It was pitch black except for the dim glow of a few phone flashlights, which we turned off once the Ouija board was set. For 10 minutes, nothing happened. Just us sitting in the silence waiting. And then the lights flickered. Not the emergency ones, but the actual fluorescent tubes. First a buzz, then a flicker, and suddenly the entire classroom lit up bright white. The weirdest part? The rest of the school stayed dark. We thought it was just a power glitch and laughed about it, trying to brush it off. That's when the scream happened. It wasn't the kind of scream you hear in movies. It was guttural, violent, raw, like someone was being torn apart, every ounce of pain ripped from their throat. It came from the corridor, echoing off the walls. My body froze instantly. No guard, no teacher, nothing should have been there. We panicked, obviously, and rushed out. The hallway was empty, stretching out in both directions. No footsteps, no sign of anyone. We split up, each of us checking different corners. That's when everyone started having their own experiences. Jess later said she found a soft toy hanging upside down from the ceiling. She swore there was blood dripping from its seams, thick drops hitting the floor. When she blinked, it was gone. She checked the ceiling again. Nothing. Just a dusty tile. Mike claimed he felt someone right behind him. Not just a vague sense of being watched. He said he could feel the warmth of breath on his neck. When he spun around, nobody was there. But the classroom door next to him swung shut, like someone had just slipped inside. Liam, who usually jokes about everything, went pale. He said at the far end of the corridor, he saw a silhouette, a tall, thin figure just standing still, watching. Every time the lights flickered, the figure seemed to step closer, until finally the lights went out completely. When we regrouped, all of us looked shaken. That's when we realized Lexi wasn't with us. Panic really hit then. We shouted her name, ran around looking. No answer. Then we noticed it. Faint, wet footprints on the corridor floor. Not mud, not dust. Actual water. The trail led toward the swimming pool. We followed, every step heavier than the last. The pool area was colder than the rest of the building, and the smell of chlorine was sharp in the air. That's when we saw it. A body floating face down in the pool. We didn't think. We just ran and pulled it out. But the moment we flipped it over, we realized it wasn't Lexi. It wasn't anyone. It was a dummy, a human-shaped mannequin, but it looked exactly like her. The hair, the clothes, everything. As we dragged it out, I swear its hand clutched my wrist. Just for a second, cold and clammy, but strong enough to make me stumble. Everyone else was already screaming, and I couldn't bring myself to tell them. We bolted. None of us looked back. The next morning, Lexi walked into school like nothing had happened. She laughed when we asked her where she'd gone, said she'd gone to the restroom and couldn't find us after. She looked normal, acted normal, but something was off. When she stood close to me, my wrist, where the dummy had grabbed me, burned like a rash or a fever under the skin. No mark, nothing visible, but I felt it. I still feel it sometimes, especially when she's near. People say it was just our minds playing tricks on us. Stress, late-night paranoia, maybe even fumes from the old building messing with our heads. The scream could have been a cat, the silhouette just our eyes adjusting to the dark. The dummy a prank left in the pool storage. But when I think about the way the lights only worked in our room, or the way my wrist felt like it was grabbed, I can't fully explain it away. And sometimes, when I see Lexi smile, I get this unsettling thought that maybe the girl we pulled out of the pool wasn't the dummy at all. Maybe the real Lexi never came back. And that's what keeps me up at night. Story number two. I've debated sharing this for years because even now, I don't fully understand what happened. It's one of those memories that feels too vivid to be just imagination. But at the same time, I can't rule out the possibility that my mind twisted things in the moment. Still, the scar on my neck tells me something did happen, something I can't laugh off. It started with my mom insisting I go to this kid's birthday party. His name was Arjun, and he lived three houses down. He wasn't exactly the type of kid people liked. Always alone, pale, and he carried this strange energy around him. I'd catch him sitting on the curb, drawing symbols into the dirt with a stick or picking up dead insects and putting them into jars. People whispered he was into weird stuff, maybe witchcraft, maybe just too much time alone. I avoided him, but my mom thought it was rude to skip the invite. She said kids like him needed more friends and she practically shoved me out the door. The moment I reached his house, something hit me that I'll never forget. The smell. It was faint, but it reminded me of rotting meat, the way garbage smells when it sits under the sun for too long. It came in a wave, and then just as quickly, it was gone. I was about to step back when I felt a push at my back, gentle but strong enough that I stumbled into the doorway. No one was behind me. Inside, the house looked normal enough. Balloons, streamers, cheap paper hats. A bunch of kids were running around, laughing, screaming, throwing cake at each other. Parents were nowhere in sight, which struck me as odd. I went to the corner, hoping to sit it out until cake cutting was done. That's when I saw him, the birthday boy. He was standing near the center of the room, grinning from ear to ear. And I don't mean a regular kid's happy grin. It was too wide, stretched like his face wasn't built to smile that way. His eyes followed everyone, and occasionally they'd flick to me. Every time they did, my stomach tightened. Something about the way he looked made it seem like he was waiting for me specifically. I tried to ignore it, but then a balloon popped. Just a loud bang, harmless, but it made me flinch. I turned my head for a second, and when I looked back, everything had changed. The room was empty. Every single kid, every trace of noise, gone. The decorations were still there, but the air had gone heavy, and the silence pressed against my ears. I thought maybe they'd all gone outside, but the front door was shut tight, and then I heard it. Laughter. Not the cheerful kind you hear at parties. This was slow, deliberate, almost mocking. It was coming from upstairs. I don't know what possessed me to go up there, but my legs moved on their own. Each step creaked under my weight, the sound echoing way too loudly in the silence. At the top of the stairs, I saw a faint glow coming from a room at the end of the hallway. I pushed the door open, and my heart nearly stopped. There he was, Arjun, sitting cross-legged on the floor, a wooden board laid out in front of him. Not a normal one. It was scratched, uneven, and dark with what looked like stains. At first, I thought it was paint, but when I got closer, I realized it looked like blood. The letters carved into it weren't the usual neat ones you'd see on a store-bought Ouija board. They were jagged, uneven, almost angry. He was running his fingers over it, muttering words I didn't recognize. Then, without warning, his body jerked and he started to float. His legs dangled and his head snapped upward, mouth opening unnaturally wide. The voice that came out wasn't his. It was deep, raspy, layered, like more than one voice speaking at once. That's when I bolted. I yanked the door open and tore into the hallway, but something was wrong. The hallway stretched too far. No matter how fast I ran, the stairs never came into view. Every few seconds, I'd glance over my shoulder, and there he was, Arjun, still floating, still grinning. Sometimes he was at the far end of the hall, sometimes just a few feet away, his eyes glowing faintly in the dim light. My lungs burned and my legs screamed, but I couldn't stop. The air felt heavier the further I went, and the walls seemed to close in. Then it happened, sharp pain at my neck, like teeth sinking into me. I screamed and slapped at it, but nothing was there except a burning ache. My vision blurred, and for a second, I thought I'd collapse right there in that endless hallway. Then, like flipping a switch, everything snapped back. I was standing at the bottom of the stairs, my chest heaving. The sound of laughter and chatter filled the room again. Kids were running around, smearing cake on each other's faces. Parents had suddenly
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply in-app only.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Appeared, chatting casually. And there he was, in the middle of it all, perfectly normal. Arjun stood at the table, knife in hand, cutting his birthday cake like nothing had happened. No one seemed to notice me standing there, pale and shaking. I didn't wait. I ran out the front door and didn't stop until I was home. That night I couldn't sleep. My neck throbbed, and when I looked in the mirror, I saw it. A bite mark. Not huge, but clear enough. Two crescent rows of teeth indented into my skin. It wasn't human-sized either. Too small. Too sharp. The next week, his family moved out. No explanation. No goodbyes. The house stayed empty for months, and eventually someone else bought it. But even now, whenever I pass by, I feel that same faint wave of rot in the air, like something lingering. I still have the scar. People brush it off, say, maybe I got bitten by a stray dog or some insect, but I know what I felt, what I saw. I just wish I knew what really happened in that house. Story number three. This happened when I was 16, and even now at 28, I still remember every detail like it happened yesterday. I don't think about it much, because when I do, strange things seem to start again, but some things just cling to you, no matter how much time passes. My grandma had this old wooden board she kept locked away in a box in the attic. My mom knew about it, but never allowed me anywhere near it. I wasn't even supposed to know it existed. But when you're a curious teenager with too much free time, boundaries are made to be broken. One night, when I was alone, I brought the box down. It was about 1 a.m., and for some reason, I decided to play with it in the unfinished basement. That was my first mistake. The basement was always the creepiest part of the house. Concrete floor, wooden beams, no proper lighting except for one bulb that flickered more than it worked. The air always smelled damp, like soil and mildew. I spread the board out on the floor, sat cross-legged with my phone flashlight nearby, and waited. At first, nothing happened. I whispered questions into the silence, feeling ridiculous. The only sound was the steady chirping of insects outside. I almost gave up. But then the quiet was shattered by this violent pounding at the basement door. It wasn't light knocking. It was like someone was throwing their entire weight against it, like the wood was about to split. My heart jumped into my throat. I froze, staring at the door, too terrified to move. And then, just as suddenly as it started, it stopped. The silence that followed was worse. I realized I'd been holding my breath, and when I let it out, the air in the basement felt even heavier. That's when I heard it, three rhythmic taps coming from the far corner of the floor. Not random creaks, not pipes, but deliberate, like someone was signaling. I swung my phone light toward the sound. Nothing. Just the dusty corner of the basement with a loose wooden panel half sticking up. I tried to brush it off, maybe a rat or pipes settling. But my body knew better. Every hair on my arms was standing. Still, I forced myself to keep going with the board. My hands shook as I placed them back. Slowly, letters started to form, but the words were jumbled. I couldn't make sense of them, but my chest felt tight, like I wasn't supposed to. Then, clear as day, I felt someone right behind me. Not just the vague sense of being watched, but the prickling heat of a presence standing close, slightly to the side, watching me lean over the board. I spun around, phone light cutting through the dark. Nothing, empty, but the tapping started again, faster, louder, more urgent. Three knocks, then three more, like something was directly beneath that panel. I don't know where the courage came from, but I got up and walked to the corner. The wooden plank wasn't nailed down. It was already half loose, like it had been pried up before. My fingers hesitated, but then I pulled it open. Underneath was just a shallow crawl space, maybe a foot deep, all dirt. My phone beam shook as I leaned closer. For a split second, I swear I saw the faint outline of someone small, like a child curled in the dirt. But when I blinked, there was nothing, just soil and shadows. I should have shut it immediately, but I couldn't look away. My eyes scanned the dirt, and that's when I saw it, a child's shoe, half buried. Not new, not even old in the way clothes in the attic are old. This was ancient, cracked leather and worn fabric, the kind of shoe no one had worn for decades. I dropped the plank back into place so fast it almost caught my fingers. My whole body felt wrong, like my blood had gone cold. I didn't even put the board back in the box. I just ran upstairs, slammed the door, and sat in my room until morning, trying to convince myself I'd imagined it. But the thing is, it didn't end that night. Afterwards, little things started happening. Sometimes I'd wake up and my feet would be freezing cold, even though I slept with socks. It wasn't the kind of cold from air conditioning either. It was wet cold, like I'd been standing barefoot in icy water. Other times, late at night, I'd hear those three taps again, always from the basement, always in that same deliberate rhythm. No one else seemed to notice. I asked my mom once if she ever heard knocking from below, and she just shrugged it off, said the pipes made noises sometimes. But pipes don't knock in threes with perfect rhythm. The strangest part is, I went back down there once in daylight, months later, to prove to myself it was nothing. I pried up the same wooden panel, dug a little into the dirt. Nothing. No shoe, no sign of anything buried, just soil and damp earth. That should have been comforting, but it wasn't. It was worse, because if the shoe wasn't really there, then what exactly did I see that night? And if it was there, where did it go? Even now, years later, I live in a different house. But sometimes, when the night is very still, I swear I hear those same three taps. Always soft, always spaced just the same way. It's not loud enough for anyone else to notice, but I do. I tell myself it could be anything. My imagination, old plumbing, the settling of wood, the brain making patterns where there aren't any. But when I wake up in the middle of the night with my feet numb and wet against the sheets, like I've stepped out of a cold basement, I can't convince myself anymore. Some nights I still think about that shoe, half buried, waiting under the floorboards. I never found out whose it was. Maybe I was never meant to, and I don't know if it's better that way, or worse. Story number four, I've been working the night shift at the local library for almost 2 years now. It's usually the easiest job in the world. A few stragglers here and there until closing, then hours of silence while I reshelve books and monitor the cameras. I actually liked the peace at first. The library at night feels like its own world. empty aisles, the faint hum of the old heating system, the occasional creak of wood as the building settles. You get used to the sounds. You stop noticing them after a while. It all started about a month ago. A group of college kids showed up late in the evening, asking if they could stay and study. I usually don't allow people to linger past closing, but they seemed harmless, and I figured I'd let them have the extra hour. I didn't notice at first what they were really doing until I passed by the history section and saw them crouched around something on the floor. They'd brought a Ouija board. They weren't quiet either. Nervous laughter, little gasps, their voices bouncing between the stacks. I didn't care much. I just wanted them gone so I could do my rounds. After maybe 15 minutes, they all packed up in a hurry. I didn't hear what spooked them, but one of them looked pale, and they practically ran out. I locked the doors behind them and went back to work. That night was the first time I heard the whispers. I was reshelving in the fiction aisle when I caught the faint sound of murmuring. It was so soft I thought it was the wind sneaking through a vent. The more I listened, though, the more it sounded like actual words, like people talking just out of earshot. The strange part was that it wasn't coming from one place. It seemed to shift, like one moment it was behind the next shelf, then across the aisle, then right at the end of the row. I checked, of course. Nobody there. I chalked it up to the heating system, or maybe sound carrying weird in an empty building. I even told myself I was just tired, but the voices came back the next night, and the night after that. Always the same soft murmur, always impossible to catch clearly. A week later was when things started to feel less explainable. I was in the paranormal section, ironically, putting a few books back, when I heard the sudden thump of something falling behind me. I turned and saw that every single book on one side of the shelf had toppled onto the ground in a straight, neat row. The spines all faced upward. At first, I thought it was just gravity, but when I looked closer, I froze. The call numbers on the spine spelled out a word, D-E-A-T-H. I just stood there staring, trying to convince myself I was seeing it wrong. I almost pulled out my phone to take a picture, but I didn't. To this day, I wish I had. I went straight to the security desk and checked the cameras. Nothing. No one walking down the aisle. No movement at all. And yet the timestamp showed the books fell at exactly 12:03 a.m. The following nights it happened again. Always just after midnight, always the same shelf, always in the same straight line. The only difference was that the books didn't spell anything after that first time, but the timing and precision were unnerving. I tried restacking them carefully, thinking maybe the shelf was warped, but the fall was too deliberate. Books don't just land face up like that. After that, the whispers grew louder, not clear enough to understand, but closer. One night I was shelving near the reference section when I felt what I can only describe as breath on the back of my neck, followed by a hiss I couldn't make out. I spun around with my flashlight, but the aisle was empty. The worst part isn't the noises or the books. It's the silence afterward. Every time something happens, the library falls into this suffocating stillness, like the air itself is holding its breath. Even the heating system cuts out, and I'm left in a dead, heavy quiet that feels wrong, like the building itself is listening. I've tried to be logical about it. Maybe the whispers are just pipes. Maybe the books fell because of vibrations from the heating system. Maybe the silence is in my head. But that doesn't explain what happened two nights ago. I was walking through the children's section when I noticed all the rolling chairs at the reading table were pulled out, evenly spaced like someone had just stood up from each one. I hadn't touched them, and I always pushed them back in during closing. I thought maybe I was misremembering, but when I turned to leave, I saw one of the chairs roll slowly backward on its own, scraping softly against the carpet. Again, I checked the cameras. Nothing. The chair didn't move on screen, even though I'd watched it with my own eyes. Last night was worse. Around 12:15, I was in the archives basement retrieving a file when I heard the distinct sound of pages flipping rapidly, like someone was thumbing through a book nearby. It echoed in the room sharp and fast. But I was alone down there, and every single book was in its place, undisturbed. When I went back upstairs, the paranormal shelf was already waiting for me, every book face up on the ground again. I avoid that aisle now. I do the bare minimum, keep the lights brighter than I need to, and never step into the stacks after midnight if I can help it. But the library feels different since that study group left. Like something settled in that night and never went away. I haven't told anyone. It feels ridiculous to admit that I'm scared of a building I've worked in for years. I tell myself I'm overworked, that I'm letting the Ouija thing get into my head, that there's an explanation I'm missing. And maybe that's true. Maybe it's all just tricks of an old building mixed with a tired brain. But tonight I came in early to set up, and I swear I saw something new. On the monitor, just for a second, one of the aisles went dark, like the lights had flickered out only in that spot. When they came back on, the camera glitched. In that half second of static, I thought I saw a figure standing at the end of the row. When the picture cleared, it was gone. I can't prove any of it. The footage never shows what I see. The sounds never record. And maybe that's the worst part, knowing that if I ever do say anything, people will just shake their heads and tell me I imagined it. Still, I can't shake the feeling that whatever the kids stirred up with that board is still moving through the shelves, waiting for me in the quiet hours. I keep telling myself it's all in my head, but midnight is coming soon, and I can already feel the hush settling over the building. And I know I won't be stepping into that aisle tonight. Story number 5. I was staying at my aunt's place for a few days because of some work in her town. When I first arrived, it felt normal. Warm food, familiar chatter, nothing strange at all. My cousin even teased me about how quiet the house seemed compared to the city, but that calm didn't last long. The night it started, a storm rolled in out of nowhere. It was too sudden, like someone had just dropped it from the sky. The air felt heavy, and within minutes the wind was howling hard enough to make the old house shiver. The rain lashed against the windows in a way that made me feel cut off from the world outside. My cousin had told me earlier in the evening about how she once messed with a Ouija board at her school friend's sleepover, how they heard knocks and whispers. I laughed it off back then, but her words replayed in my head that night. Maybe that was why my mind was primed for what followed. I went to bed on the second floor. It was pitch black when I woke up with a strange pull at my leg. It wasn't strong, but it was deliberate, like someone wanted to check if I was asleep. At first, I thought it was just a dream, but when I opened my eyes, I could sense movement in the room. My eyes adjusted slowly, and when I glanced toward the window, I froze. There was a girl standing outside. The storm should have been whipping her hair, her clothes, something, but she was just still. Her eyes looked hollow, like there was nothing behind them, and before I could process what I was looking at, she was gone. Just like that. I tried convincing myself I'd imagined it. Sleep deprivation, shadows, or maybe the storm was messing with my head. But the next night it happened again. Same pull on my leg, same presence. And when I turned to the window, she was there. The problem was that the room I was sleeping in was on the second floor, and there was no balcony outside that window, just a straight drop. By the third night, I wasn't sleeping well. I left the lamp on, but it didn't help. The pull came again, more insistent this time. And when I turned, the girl wasn't just staring, she was clawing at the window. The sound went straight into my skull, sharp and grating, like nails on metal instead of glass. It was unbearable. I pressed my hands over my ears, but the noise seemed to crawl inside anyway. For a moment, I thought my ears would burst open and bleed. Then it stopped. She was gone again, like she had never been there. I tried to talk to my cousin about it the next morning. She looked at me with a strange pity, like she thought I wasn't cut out for her spooky stories. She brushed it off, told me I wasn't meant for creepy stuff, but I knew what I was seeing and hearing wasn't just my imagination. I started dreading the nights. The storm outside never really passed. It lessened, then returned, always loud at night. On the fourth night, I locked my window and even jammed a chair against the frame. I double-checked my door, too. I wanted to feel some control, but control doesn't mean much when things don't make sense. Like clockwork, I felt the tug at my leg. My stomach dropped. I sat frozen, waiting for the scraping sound, but this time it was different. When I looked, the window was wide open, though I'd locked it, and she wasn't outside anymore. She was standing inside the room, at the foot of my bed. Every part of me screamed to move, to run, to do something, but my body locked up. She was pale, her hair dripping like she had just climbed out of water. Her clothes hung oddly, clinging in some parts, sagging in others. She stared down at me, those hollow eyes pinning me in place. Then her body bent unnaturally, stretching forward until her face hovered inches from mine. Her spine curved in ways that didn't look human. Her gaze drilled straight into me, and I felt my chest seize up like I couldn't breathe. And then she vanished. Just like that, gone. When I finally forced myself to sit up, the window was locked tight, the chair still wedged against it. My door was still bolted from the inside. Nothing was disturbed, like nothing had ever entered. That was the final straw for me. I packed my bag the next morning and made an excuse to leave. My aunt didn't question it, but my cousin gave me a knowing look, the kind that said she had seen my face pale and exhausted enough to understand. I never told her the full extent of what I saw. Even now I replay it in my head. I try to reason it out. Maybe I was half asleep. Maybe the storm's noise messed with my senses. Maybe sleep paralysis took over. All of those explanations make sense on paper. But then I remember the sound of those claws on the glass, the way her body arched over mine, the way her eyes seemed to drag me into them. It's been months, but every time a storm rolls in suddenly, too fast and too loud, I catch myself bracing for that tug at my leg. I haven't seen her again, but I also haven't been able to look out a window at night without checking twice for a face staring back. The strangest part is, a few weeks ago, during another storm, I swore I heard faint scratching on my bedroom window at home. I live on the fourth floor, and there's no balcony here either. Story number 6. When I first moved into my dorm, I was surprised to learn I'd be the only one in a two-person room. Most people would have been thrilled. Extra space, no snoring roommate, no clashing schedules. For me, it felt like luck. Everyone had whispered about that particular room being weird, but I didn't care. I figured it was just campus gossip. The first month went by peacefully. I had long nights to myself, spread my stuff across both beds, and sometimes even joked that I had an imaginary roommate. Everything was fine. Until one night, it wasn't. It started with the smell of ashes, not faint, not like a neighbor smoking. This was strong, acrid, like burned wood and fabric. I sat up in bed and my chest tightened when I saw my closet door glowing orange from the inside. The flames licked up the wooden panels, spreading to the ceiling. Heat rushed at me so fast that instinct took over. I grabbed my water bottle and splashed it, but it hissed uselessly. I panicked, ran out into the hallway, screaming for help. By the time half the floor gathered outside my room, there was nothing. No fire, no smoke, just the ordinary wooden closet sitting there, shut, like it had never been touched. People gave me weird looks. Some muttered about false alarms. I stammered out an apology, my face burning hotter than the flames I swore I had seen. The next day, I tried to convince myself it was a dream. Stress, maybe, but the smell had been too real. The heat had burned the hairs on my arm. I kept telling myself I was overreacting. A week later, I was showering when I noticed the mirror fogging up in an odd way. The steam didn't spread evenly. It collected in streaks, almost like fingers dragging downward. I shook it off as coincidence until I heard a faint buzzing sound above me. At first, I thought it was the vent, but when I looked up, my stomach dropped. A wire was dangling from the ceiling right above the wet floor, its copper tip exposed. The sound was sharp, an angry insect trapped in metal. I staggered back, my foot nearly slipping on the tiles. Heart racing, I yanked the towel and bolted out before the whole thing could zap me. I called maintenance immediately. The electrician checked everything, rolling his eyes like I was wasting his time. There was nothing loose, no exposed wire, no buzzing. He even ran the shower for a while to prove the point. Everything was normal, but I knew what I saw. After that, the dorm room stopped feeling like mine. My sleep grew restless. The silence inside was heavier than any noise could be. Sometimes I would hear faint scratching from inside the closet, like nails dragging across wood. Other nights, I woke to the sound of someone shifting weight on the second bed, the mattress springs groaning as if someone sat down. One evening while studying, I heard a thud. My closet door swung open on its own and clothes tumbled out. Not in a gentle fall, but in bursts, like they were being hurled from inside. I froze in my chair, my pen slipping from my hand. I wanted to tell myself it was gravity, maybe a loose hinge, Maybe I'd stuffed the clothes in too tight, but the way they flew didn't look accidental. I forced myself to approach, every step feeling like my body wanted to turn back. I pulled the door wider, heart thumping against my ribs. That's when I saw it. At the very bottom, under a pile of shirts and jeans, was a wooden Ouija board. I swear on my life it wasn't mine. I'd unpacked every single thing the first day I moved in. I never owned anything like that. And yet there it was, sitting casually like it had always belonged. I didn't touch it. I shoved the clothes back over it and slammed the door shut. That night I couldn't sleep. Every creak of the building sounded sharper, closer. At one point I was sure I heard soft tapping from the closet door. Irregular, almost impatient. Days blurred together after that. Little things kept happening. My phone would die in the middle of the night even when it had full charge. The lights flickered at odd hours, though only in my room. I once woke up with soot on my hands like I'd been handling burnt wood. The worst part was the dreams. Or maybe they weren't dreams. I couldn't tell anymore. I'd wake up paralyzed, unable to move, watching the second bed sag as if someone had lain down. Sometimes the air would grow heavy with that same ash smell, pressing against my lungs until I gasped awake. Whenever I tried to tell people, they'd brush it off. Stress, overactive imagination, dorm paranoia. Some even joked that I'd psyched myself out because of the rumors. I wanted to believe them. Then one night, I finally gathered the courage to get rid of the Ouija board. I pulled it out, holding it at arm's length like it was toxic, and walked down to the dumpster outside. The air was sharp and cold, and I remember the way my hands trembled as I tossed it in. I went back to my room relieved, thinking maybe that was the end of it. But the next morning, it was back in the closet. Same spot, same faint dust on the edges. I haven't touched it since. Now every night, I lie awake staring at the closed closet door, half expecting it to open again. I can't bring myself to leave the dorm. Moving mid-semester is complicated and expensive. People keep telling me it's just stress, that I'm overthinking, that maybe someone's playing pranks, and maybe they're right. Maybe the fire was a hallucination, the wire a shadow, the clothes a loose hinge, the board someone else's idea of a joke. But every time I smell ashes in the dark, I know I'm not imagining it. The air grows too thick, too heavy for that. And sometimes when I wake up in the dead of night, I swear I can hear the soft sound of wood sliding against wood, like the planchette moving across the board. Slow, deliberate, spelling something I don't want to read. Story number 7. I don't normally tell people this. I sound insane when I say it out loud, but here goes. When I was 19, I made the mistake of messing around with an Ouija board. I wasn't some horror junkie or someone who believed in spirits. It was more of a joke. A couple of my friends had dared me to bring the board one night. We ended up in a park we often went to, sitting on a worn-out bench under dim yellow streetlights. It was around 1 a.m., cold enough that I could see my breath, but quiet in a way that felt unnatural. We had been drinking a little. Cheap beer, nothing crazy. Enough for a buzz, but not enough to hallucinate. At least that's what I keep telling myself. We set the board on the bench, but it was mostly just laughter and pushing the planchette ourselves, spelling out dumb words. It was one of those nights where you think nothing memorable will happen. Then I felt it, a subtle brush, like someone walking past me too close. Not wind, not a branch, not an insect. A distinct shift of air, as though a person had just slipped behind me. I remember laughing it off and shaking my shoulders like I could shrug it away. My friends didn't even notice. They got up to pee behind the trees and I was left sitting there alone with the board. That's when I saw it. Two faint dots glowing in the dark. Green. Low to the ground at first, like animal eyes reflecting light. Except there was no light for them to catch. The dots hovered for a few seconds, then blinked out. I thought maybe I was drunker than I realized. But then minutes went by. My friends didn't return. I shouted once, half joking, but no reply came. Just the rustling of leaves and a kind of pressing silence, the kind where every small sound feels amplified. The dots appeared again, this time farther back between the trees. They shifted slightly like they were circling, following. My stomach sank in that heavy way you feel before something bad happens. I decided I'd had enough and started walking toward the park's main path. That's when I realized something was wrong. I knew that park inside out. I'd been there dozens of times, but as I walked, the path seemed unfamiliar. I kept turning corners that led to places I didn't remember ever existing. Narrow dirt trails, overgrown hedges, a fence I'd never seen before. It felt like the park had rearranged itself into a maze. At one point, I came across a stretch of ground covered in broken stones and tilted slabs. My brain didn't register it immediately until I noticed faint engravings on some of them. Names, years. It looked like a cemetery, except there wasn't one anywhere near that park. Not for miles. That's when I heard it. A single word shouted in a voice that wasn't familiar, wasn't close, but was sharp enough to cut through the air. Leave. I spun around so fast my vision blurred, but there was no one. Just the swaying shadows of trees. My hands were shaking at this point, and all I could think about was getting back to the parking lot. I started running, the kind of blind sprint where you don't care if you trip. The dots appeared again on my right, then ahead of me, then gone. Every time I thought I was close to the edge of the park, the path twisted and pulled me deeper. Finally, by some stroke of luck, the entrance lights appeared, the familiar stretch of asphalt leading to the lot. I stumbled toward it, drenched in sweat, my chest tight. I checked my phone the second I reached the car. The screen glared back at me. 2:30 a.m. Somehow an hour and a half had passed. I had no memory of it. No texts, no calls, nothing. Just a blank stretch of missing time. The parking lot was empty, but that wasn't the worst part. The sky had started changing. The black had turned faintly blue, streaked with orange at the horizon. Birds were chirping. The morning sun was climbing. I slid into the driver's seat, trying to convince myself I was imagining things. The dashboard clock flicked on when I started the car. 6 a.m. My phone matched it exactly. 3.5 hours gone, with nothing in between except those green dots and paths that shouldn't have existed. I drove home on autopilot, barely remembering the route. When I finally crawled into bed, I was too drained to process it. I thought maybe when I woke up, it would make sense. It never did. When I asked my friends later, they looked at me like I was joking. They swore they hadn't been at the park. In fact, they said they'd been home all night, gaming online together. They even had screenshots to prove it. According to them, we never made any plan to meet. That's the part that still messes me up. Either I hallucinated the whole thing.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Or something took me there alone, using their faces, their voices. Over the years, I've tried to rationalize it. Maybe I blacked out from the alcohol and wandered into another part of town without realizing. Maybe the dots were just animal eyes, the cemetery a trick of the mind, the missing time a result of me passing out on a bench somewhere. But here's the thing I can't explain. A few weeks after that night, I went back to the park during the day, just to prove to myself it was all in my head. The paths were exactly as I remembered them before. Open, simple, no weird detours. But as I walked near the tree line, I noticed something carved faintly into the bark of one of the bigger oaks. 6 letters. My name. I never told anyone about that part. Even now, sometimes when I wake up too early, around 5 or 6 in the morning, I'll catch it out of the corner of my eye. 2 faint green dots glowing outside my window just for a second before fading away. And I still don't know whether it's just my mind playing tricks or if something followed me out that night.